views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer and I'm joined with my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Great to be here.
It's so good to be here with you too, and so great to be continuing our conversation on hope. It has been so interesting, and I find that I have been really applying this to my day to day. I've learned quite a bit. And you know, that's really the goal of this radio show, is we're taking spiritual concepts and we're trying to make them practical. And I'd say, Dorothy, we're doing a pretty good job at it because I'm putting it to use. So hope, we've been talking about hope for the last few weeks. And what I've come to really understand, that there's momentum to hope, that it's really about strategizing. And as long as we are coming up with options, as long as we're doing our best to stay somewhat optimistic and keep it moving along, we're generating hope. So, you know, listeners, I run a retreat center, Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, and it's that funny time right now where it's like kind of spring, but kind of winter. And we've got guests coming this weekend, and there was a forecast that it could have been snow. You know, it looks like there might be snow. And I said, you know, I could have said, oh, I hope it doesn't snow this weekend. And really, I would be responding to anxiety about this negative impact of what wintry weather might do for people's travel plans. But instead, I said, you know, it's March. The sun is so much warmer these days than it was a few months ago. So if it snows, the ground is warm. The sun makes it melt really quick. Now, that's hopeful. I didn't even say the, oh, I hope it doesn't snow. So, Dorothy, I think
So you're moving along, Steve. This is great.
I'm flexing my hope muscles. So listeners, that's what we're going to do this whole show. We're going to talk about ways that you can build up your capacity to generate hope.
And I like the fact that we're talking about it as developing our hopefulness muscle, because it really is that. It's a latent capacity that we can either do nothing with, or we can train it to work for us.
Totally. It's like a use it or lose it scenario, right? You've got to keep it in motion. So Dorothy, in the weeks that passed, you know, as I like to try to apply everything that we talk and the wisdom that arises from our conversation, I came up with two really fun acronyms for the word hope. You know, an acronym, you take the H-O-P-E and you make a phrase. So I've got two of them. I'm very excited.
Great.
Can I share them with you?
Absolutely.
So here's the first one. Having options promotes expansion.
That's great. That's wonderful.
So it's true. You know, the more options we create, then we're expansive. We've got choices. We can look around, and actually that's quite hopeful. So I love it. Having options promotes expansion. Here's the second one. Harnessing optimism provides evidence.
Great. There's another wonderful one.
That one's a little more esoteric, right? Harnessing optimism provides evidence, because within esotericism, we talk quite a bit about the power of the mind and energy following thought. So, you know, you've really got to find ways. You've got to strategize ways to harness optimism, and the universe will provide evidence that is in the direction of your expansion. I like
mm-hmm.
it. It's hopeful.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's really nice.
So, Dorothy, how about you? You've given us these great quotes at the beginning of every show. I'm hoping you have one for this show.
Well, the one I was thinking of for today, Steve, is from Albert Einstein. He said, learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow. And I think that that's really nice. It's like, you know, that hope is looking forward. It's finding options. It's moving into the future. And it's building on what we've learned from yesterday and our lived experience today.
And putting it into practice today, indeed. Well, that has quite a bit to say about keeping it moving along, huh? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot about goals, I find.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just goals. I think in relation to hope, hope comes into play when it is an important or valued goal.
Right, right.
It's something that matters. It doesn't really apply to the small mundane decisions about, you know, am I going to have broccoli or spinach? You know, it's in the bigger picture.
It's like, am I going to enjoy all of my meals?
Yeah.
Because if we think about hopelessness, you know, really there's very little. We were talking on the last show a bit about students who just basically, I keep thinking of those students and know that I had a bit of a tendency when I was at school to just go, oh man, no, I had a tendency towards hopelessness at times, not all right. The time, at times. And goals became important to me though. You know, it was like, and I love that you were clear about that it was about what was important to me. You know, what did I have to offer? And coming into sort of coming into a knowing of what it is that I was offering, and then I could set goals that were, as you say, meaningful to me, and that generated hope.
Right, right. So it's about the context that we create. And I'd like to, we haven't talked about the seven principles we didn't talk about them in the last show anyway. And I'd like to bring in the principle of participation, you know, all of the research, the quantum research on the fact that we do literally through our participation, through what we observe, through how we interpret, we create our context, we create our reality. So it is actually under our control.
Right. And Dorothy, would you say that within quantum science, because I know for a lot of people that word, it just makes them sort of quiver, that we need to be in a place where we are allowing the universe, or does that sort of quantum field that is connecting us to all that is universal, is that happening whether we're in a state of sort of contraction or a state of hopelessness, or is it working at all the times on both sides of the scale? Like, are we always receiving evidence of those actions and that interconnection?
Well, let me put it slightly differently, Steve. Maybe this is what you're getting at, but we are always interconnected, whether we recognize it or not.
Right.
Whether we focus on it or not, we are literally waves. You know, we're part of an energetic universe, and we are waveforms that then show up or precipitate as particles, as solids. But ultimately, it's that energetic rhythm or vibration. That's who we really are, and it's in that way that we connect, and we can influence our own vibrational field. And we need to keep in mind that when we do that, we influence the vibrational field of other people. If you're not used to thinking in vibrational terms, think about like a guitar string and the fact that it will vibrate. You know, most people have some concept of that. And where you put your fingers, how you relate to that will affect what the sound is, the pitch that comes out, the quality of the sound that comes out. Our whole field is vibrational, and how we relate to that field, how we think about it, how we participate in it, affects those waves that are occurring. Just like when you throw a pebble into a pond, right? You create waves.
Right. And I guess what I was getting at and what I'm hearing in as you talked about it more. One thing I loved about learning the seven principles was the more I really came to sit with them and ponder them, you know, these ideas of interconnectivity and the fact that participation leads to our evolution, that we are always participating. The more I pondered those, the more I found that I was in harmony, that I actually wasn't creating distortion, if we're going to talk in vibrational terms. You know, that's more what I was asking, that it seems that the universe really responds very quickly when we are aligned with these principles. We actually can see the evidence. I guess we see the evidence whether we're offering sort of a distorted vibration or not. But when we find that we come to understand these principles and we work with them, we create momentum, and really we can feel and experience the expansion in our lives and see the result of that. And it can be quite powerful and magnificent.
Right. And I mean, there are a number of different analogies that we can make in everyday life. The one that was just coming to me as you were talking is, if you think about yourself, if you've ever been in the ocean or any body of water that has a strong tide, you have a choice. You can swim against the current. I guess this would apply in a river as well. And it's not that you can't make progress, but it's going to be really, really difficult. Or you can go with the tide, right? You can find a way to move with it. And that's what cycles are all about, you know, understanding the cycles of energy. We talk in esoteric terms about the cycles and the interludes. You know, is the energy ebbing or flowing? The energy always ebbs and flows. So if you're wanting to start something, then it's easier to start it when that energy is flowing in the direction that you're wanting to go.
And there, right there, is quite a bit of what we can learn from this discussion of hope is how to create momentum, how to get in the rhythm of the flow and create options for ourselves, and how can we use hope to our benefit, and how can we put it into practice. So that's what this whole show is going to be about: flexing that hope muscle and getting aligned, right?
Absolutely.
So listen, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how do we create options for ourselves that we can incorporate hope into our lives. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Want to help reduce the divisiveness in our world? Each year, the School for Esoteric Studies holds a subjective group conference. This year, our focus is on unity in diversity, the science of right human relations. From April till June, we will meditate together, study relevant writings, and share practical strategies for improving how we relate with each other. Join us to help build inclusive communities. Check on our subjective group conference at esotericstudies.net. That's the School for Esoteric Studies at esotericstudies.net.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are talking about hope. We're actually talking about hope for this entire month of March, and it's been a really interesting several shows. Dorothy, on the last show, you were talking about creating a website for persons who have a disability, who cannot stand or walk for long distances. I was really touched by that because I remember when you first started it and you had told me about it and said, listen, if you know anybody with mobility issues, let them know about this website that I'm starting to collect data. And it was just at the very beginning. And on last week's show, you revealed that within a pretty short period of time, you've collected something like 2,400 pieces of data, and you're really moving forward with this. And we talked a little bit about challenges you had, and I had asked you a very clear question, you know, were you hopeful the whole time? And we talked about the intricacies of that process. And I would like to know, even a week later, you know, how are you feeling about that? How did you actually generate hope and not just feel right away? Because we're talking about building our hopefulness muscle. So for those of us who have maybe hit a wall or we see a barrier, you know, you actually moved beyond it and you saw quite clearly the results of persisting. So how did you do that?
Well, thanks for asking, Steve. And let me just clarify for anyone who did not hear the show last time. This is work for persons who have hidden mobility disabilities. That is, those of us who can walk independently, so we look like there's no issue, but in fact we can only walk a short distance and we can only stand for a brief period of time. So if you're interested in that, or if you're interested in taking the survey, go to hiddenmobilitydisabilities.com. I've been thinking since that show about how it is that I could persist, because I mentioned, you know, I got discouraged. I had to try many different avenues before being able to actually get the initial round of data that tells us the lived experience or describes the lived experience of someone with a hidden mobility disability. And I think, Steve, that I need to give tribute to my parents, because when I was young, if something happened that if I did something I wasn't supposed to do, or I was disappointed because something didn't work out the way I wanted to, what my parents would do would be to sit with me and say, what else could you have done? And I realize in tracing back, that's, you know, I've talked on this show about going beyond just two options. I think that was the start of it for me, was they would push, you know, what's a third, what's a fourth, what's a fifth option? And that's what begins to generate those possibilities that lay the foundation for hope and that strengthen the hopefulness muscle. And I think in recent years, work that I've done on trauma, I'm sure there are many ways of approaching it, but the particular technique that I've worked with a psychologist on is the EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And the way that she worked with me on it was not only desensitizing the original experience, but having me then visualize alternate scenarios so that I could see from what I had been kind of stuck in seeing as a negative experience, that as a result of that experience, there were all of these other things that emerged for me, other possibilities in my life that I wouldn't have had. And it, again, it's that opening up of that sense of possibility that is so key for hope.
Wow. Dorothy, there's so much to talk about there. First of all, I want to say thank you to your parents, because that was the first training of you becoming a quasi scientist for quantum theory and studying non-duality, right? Talk about the seven principles. And one thing I've learned from you and from your just fantastic books is really understanding non-duality. I love that your parents would say, what's a fourth? What's a fifth? Because, you know, with dualistic thinking, it's right or wrong. I win, I didn't win. That leads to disappointment, which then leads to us not having any options. You know, if we only see black and white, there's that. So hooray. I mean, I love your parents for putting that in you. And I love that you've actually continued and taken that further and even written books about it. So that's fantastic. And it is, options are such so important, seeing options and practicing that. I've got experience with that. You know, as you get older, life gives you lots of experiences to practice with options. But I also love you talking about that therapy, because what I hear in that is that you're getting perspective. You know, anytime we look at a situation, we get perspective. And certainly, like within meditation, there's a technique where we name or we nominate, where you actually will, in your mind's eye, say, I see that thought. I recognize and acknowledge that thought, and then I let it go. And simply by naming what we're feeling, or if it's a feeling, research shows that we can reduce the intensity of an emotion by 50%, literally by just naming it alone. So, you know, if we're stuck in a loop of emotions, it's like we're worrying about worrying, or we're feeling hopeless about our sense of hopelessness. So that's kind of crazy. And so I hear what you're saying, that as soon as we actually acknowledge it, we start to do something about it, we name it, we label it, all of a sudden we are observing it, and then we've got, you know, quite a bit of perspective, and options seem to arise, right?
Right. And the putting this or just bringing in the quantum context, one of the important shifts that we need to be making is from experiencing our world as deterministic, as causal. You know, if this happens, that will happen, that must happen, which leaves us pretty helpless in the equation, to our experience being a probability field. There are many possibilities. Some of them are very, very likely. Some of them are very unlikely. It doesn't mean that they can't happen. And so that is the field of possibilities. And that is the field that we exist in. And then we can precipitate, if you will, a certain option, making it more probable so that it is the one that happens. But it's we who are participating in that process.
Right. It makes me think of Mr. Rogers, Dorothy. You know, Mr. Rogers always said that his parents taught him to always look for the helpers. If we're in a disastrous situation, we might have a tendency to think that it's finite. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, there are no, like, this is a disaster. Everything is wrong. It's finished. But there will always be helpers in the field. And if you look for the helpers, he would see a scary scenario and his parents would say, look for the helpers, because you will start to realize that there are options. And I sense, you know, Mr. Rogers, a very spiritual man, actually a very practical man and a spiritually practical man. He saw that when you start to engage helpers and you start to participate, you're actually in the quantum field of multiple possibilities, because each individual is coming at that situation with their own take on it. And all of a sudden, it's infinite, the possibilities for a new outcome that's beyond the disaster.
That's absolutely true. And I just want to underscore that in a slightly different way, and that is we need to remember that everything we choose to do every minute of the day creates our context. So, for example, if we choose to spend time with hopeful people, that reinforces our own ability to be hopeful, not only their energy, but we learn their strategies. You know, we get experience from them. And if we choose to spend time with people who feel depressed and hopeless and helpless, then it's going to draw energy from us and make it more difficult for us to be hopeful.
And Dorothy, it underscores our interdependence.
That's absolutely right. And listeners, if you haven't heard them before, these principles that we're referring to, you'll find them in my book, Principles of Abundance for the Cosmic Citizen, which is available anywhere you want to order books.
And those books are just, they're so juicy, Dorothy. It really a wonderful addition to any bookshelf. But, you know, the word responsibility, I just want to underscore that as well, because there was just something you said there about hanging out with sort of low hope people. You know, it's not only we are responsible for who we hang around, but it is our responsibility to let other people know and understand and support them in ways that they can come to see that they are responsible for their feelings, and that their feelings and the vibration that they are putting out into the world has an effect on us as well. So we've got to watch that we don't only divide ourselves between like hopeful and hopeless, but see that we're all interconnected, and we've got to support each other in realizing that responsibility for our own thoughts, feelings, and actions is really an important part of this thing called the human experience.
Well, and I'd just like to underscore before we go to a break, Steve, that I think of it as being responsible for my psychic pollution.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That energetically I can put out all this negative stuff. And it actually enters the energy field that everybody is part of. And I need to be taking responsibility for that and pulling it back and diffusing it every bit as much as I need to take responsibility for physical garbage.
Yes, indeed. Wow. All right, Dorothy, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, let's talk a bit more about that. Like how do we become efficient at that? How do we become efficient in I don't know, having a filter so we're not polluting? Hopelessness. We'll be right back.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Cloud at Rally has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. You're with Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer, and we are spending the month of March talking about hope. And today we're talking about how we can develop our hopefulness muscle. This radio program is a collaboration between our two organizations, the School for Esoteric Studies, which you can find at esotericstudies.net, and Spirit Fire, which you can find at spiritfire.com. And the two of us are very excited about talking with you today about this development of our hopefulness muscle. And you may remember, Steve, that when we talked 2 weeks ago about the definition of hope, we talked about self-efficacy as being a component of hope. And self-efficacy is that belief that you can perform well and that you will succeed, and feeling competent. If you don't feel that competency, it's going to be very difficult to be developing these possibilities, imagining these possibilities of how you can move forward towards your goal.
Mm. Definitely a lot of mental processing there. You know, we talked a little bit about, we talked quite a bit about it in the last couple weeks, about the sort of trap that emotions can get us in if we get sort of stuck in a feeling, and that we've got to sort of engage the mind. You know, you said if we're feeling that we are competent and believing we'll perform well, that we will. So again, we're back to this energy follows thought concept a little bit, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I know. Oh, go on, Dorothy.
Yeah, and before the break, we were talking about the ability to not pollute with our energy. And so that implies another type of competence that I don't think we usually think about.
Yeah, that we're sort of responsible for our thoughts. And, you know, that really is a process. I know for me personally, at an early age, I sort of sense that, you know, you sort of, if you've got really good friends, they're willing to tell you that you are polluting their space. And I was very blessed to have friends who would be frank, that I was always a worrier. You know, I've always had that tendency to be a worrier. And for me, early on, I found, I'm sure so many listeners have heard of Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life. And it talks about affirmations. And boy, I can tell you that the idea of affirmations has really changed my life. And I have been doing affirmations since I was in my 20s. And I saw the profound effect of what it meant to actually go into, and I didn't know I was doing it then, into somewhat of a very meditative aligned state and really repeat these affirmations, when I was young, they were, I mean, I kind of laugh at them. I could say, you know, I still at in certain moments will say it. I am a beloved child of the universe, and the universe lovingly accepts me and supports me now and forevermore. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. That was mantra. And I really would tap into what is the vibration of that. And I would sort of take that into every cell of my being. And I found that I actually, in terms of efficacy, I found that I was somewhat in sort of the flow. You talked about in the first segment of the show about quantum, you know, that we're all vibration, and we talked about being in the flow. When you tap into that sort of positivity, I find that you become a machine that is working for the greater good, for your greater good and the greater good of those people around you. So it can be as simple as every day I wake up with a Louise Hay affirmation. Like yesterday was, I actually put them right on my desk every day. And it was, my job supports the unfoldment of my highest potential. That was yesterday's. Now, if I really tap into that, and I spent the whole day just looking at ways that my actions and my job unfolded my highest potential and revealed that to myself, and it worked. So there's so mm-hmm. much just being proactive.
Well, I think it's more than just being proactive. It's what you put into your energetic space. You know,
right.
We talked last month a little bit about being mindful of what we read, what we watch in the way of movies, what we watch on television. We can fill our energetic field with violent images or angry images, or we can fill it with empowering and loving images. We have a choice about that.
Right. But don't you think that can become somewhat habitual as well? I mean, that can become a habit, and that can become even addictive. I think that there's people who are actually addicted to the adrenaline rush, these high super action movies give their body, you know. And I think we sometimes have to just make a conscious choice to break the habit of that.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, each of us knows what will work for us, but we do need to make conscious choices. And I'd like to give a personal example that is a bit different, Steve, because I think it's easy to think of affirmations in the positive sense, of what, and you feel the kind of good glow that goes along with it. I think it's more challenging when it feels like you're at a crisis point in your life. And so I would just like to share the, every relationship that lasts for any period of time goes through its ups and downs. And the, in my personal relationship, there was a period of time when it seemed as though we would separate, my partner and I, which gave me a great deal of sadness to think about that. And I was on vacation. We were supposed to be together on vacation, but as it turned out, I was on vacation in the Rocky Mountains. And I realized that I needed to manage my state and the energy that I was putting out. And so what I did was, this is parallel to the affirmations you're talking about. I wrote out a series of messages that I posted all over the cabin. So no matter where I turned, I saw them. And they were messages like, I support my loved one in the choices that she makes. I support, I believe that my loved one is the only one who knows what's best for her. That whole affirmation that I was in a relationship where it was a respectful relationship of choices that somebody else might want to make, whether they were the choices that I would have chosen or not. So I don't know if that makes sense, but it was a very important process, because when I would start dipping into wanting to cry or get angry or have that kind of emotional response, I would read out, I would walk around and I would read out loud those affirmations, because what I was saying to myself and the universe was, this is the reality that I choose. This is what I believe about life. This is going to be my focus.
Oh, I love it. And I love that you really made it personal for listeners, because I would say that when I first started that, I was in a bit of a crisis. I was in a crisis moment myself, and I would have them as well taped around. So I really appreciate that we have that visual, actually, of you walking around the cabin and really putting a stake in the ground and saying, this is my reality. You know, this is the future that I want to see. And it's like the acronym, you know, harnessing optimism provides evidence. And look, you're still with your partner, yes?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. 27 years.
Oh my goodness. Well, hooray. And you know, and there you have, again, I'm going to get really hopeful, Dorothy, that, you know, it is those moments that actually strengthen, you know, that's what we realize. And isn't that actually the spiritual process and the process of being human being, that you have to hit those moments of crisis to sort of, for your own personal growth and for the growth of your relationship. And it's actually the growth of consciousness, if we really want to go there.
Right. And I think also, oftentimes we see crises as negative. We see them as happening to us that we have to react to. And actually, it's just like what we were talking about last week with uncertainty. It's the crisis that brings things into clear focus of, okay, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, this is
what are the choices you're going to make?
This is what I don't want. So now, yeah, I can look around for what it is I do want.
That's right. That's wow. Right.
So listen, we're going to go to a break, and let's come back and talk about that. Like, how do we find the when we're in that state of crisis, how do we find the optimism to actually look for what we do want? Because that's really the key aspect of strengthening the muscles, is being optimistic. So we'll cover that.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhya and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness meditation retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
Want to help reduce the divisiveness in our world? Each year, the School for Esoteric Studies holds a subjective group conference. This year, our focus is on unity in diversity, the science of right human relations. From April till June, we will meditate together, study relevant writings,
and share practical strategies for improving how we relate with each other. Join us to help build inclusive communities. Check on our subjective group conference at esotericstudies.net. That's the School for Esoteric Studies at esotericstudies.net.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We are talking about optimism as it relates to hope. This has just been such a great series. I'm learning so much, as I always do. There's just great wisdom in our conversations, and I'm so appreciative, Dorothy, of all that we talk about. You know,
I feel the same way.
Great. You shared such a beautiful story about your relationship just in the last segment, and I have this quote in front of me that you mentioned the word, you know, this is my reality. And I love this quote that says, "Let reality govern my every thought and truth be the master of my life." Now, that is an affirmation right there. And you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about truth and how when we're confronted with truth and we actually acknowledge that a statement is going to be our reality, is our reality, and you see the truth of it, all of a sudden the world just seems to open up and options are provided. And that seems to be a key, you know, that seems to be what hope is all about. That is hope being generated. So it's really about switching from, you know, as you said, you know, you were in a sort of a crisis moment within your relationship and something triggered in you that said, I've got to take a look at myself. I feel great sadness about the potential of this not continuing. And somehow you turned optimistic to start creating these statements and seeing it in a very different light. So I'm wondering, what did that shift feel like to you? Or do you feel that's just automatic? Or was it something that was more of a process to generate that switch?
Well, I think there are two aspects. Thanks for the question, Steve. One is what I was saying is truly what I believe. I believe that none of us knows what the other person's life path is. We may have glimpses, but only the person themselves knows what is right for them. So if I'm going to be in relationship with someone, I have to respect that. And yet, in my experience, that's not a belief that is strongly reinforced in the general public, you know, or in the media. So I needed to create that reality. I needed to create that energy field in order to sustain that feeling. But I'll be candid. One of the dynamics for me, it's a personal dynamic, is all you have to tell me is that something's not possible. And I immediately go into trying to figure out options and what could possibly work. So it's very difficult for me to just say, oh, okay, it's not possible, and turn away without exploring as many different alternatives as I can think of.
Well, you are blessed with that characteristic. You are blessed. You know, one thing I know that both of our organizations offer, and I would just like to say to our listeners, you know, is that really to, you know, you basically said that for you, you had to really come to understand the nature of relationship, and there's great wisdom in that. So, you know, really, the three principles of both of our organizations are study, service, and meditation. And through all three of those, we really come to understand the ways that we are all interconnected. We start to understand really the fundamental drives of being a human being and what it's all about and ways that we can support each other, support ourselves, and generate wisdom. So that's how we come to know about reality. We come to know about truth. And then we're moving in a positive direction. So, you know, I know, Dorothy, for you, it's probably been a lifetime of actually really engaging engaging on some level those principles and becoming all the more wiser, and then seeing that options are really imperative to change.
Yeah, I think that there are some specific practices that we could share also with our listeners. I think one of the, you know, as we've been developing this series, I've been reflecting on this. I think one of them is understanding and really believing that there is that the universe has multiple possibilities, that there are many ways in which things can work out well. There's not just one way, and that's part of that detachment that I mentioned before. And so so if I think, instead of thinking about a specific goal that has to happen, if I think about that what I really want is the good of the whole or the good of the relationship, then I'm open to many different possibilities. Along with that, I think, is some specific practices like gratitude, always noticing what is helpful to you, what happens when people are helpful to you. And that reinforces the optimism that's so important. And you may think I take it a little bit too far, but for example, when I drive home at night and the garage light goes on automatically, I thank the light. So I do it with, quote, non-human parts of my environment as well as with people that I interact with. And the other is to look for ways of saying yes, or both and, this might be possible and this might be possible. Those are words, those are approaches that open things up to possibility.
Yeah, wow. Yes is that can be a really big game changer for a lot of people, is to start to notice how often they say yes and mm-hmm. saying yes more, and actually notice how often you say no, and that in any given situation you feel resistance to it straight away. It can be a really valuable practice indeed. And
criticism is the way to shut down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Shut others down as well. It's another thing. Be very mindful in every way of being around people who are critical, and of ways in which we might not even think we're being critical, but we're doing so.
Mm-hmm.
So surround yourself with optimistic people. That is a really wonderful thing to do. Dorothy, I only really brought up again the trainings in our organizations, because even in what you were saying about optimism, and you were talking about the word noticing, and you were talking about, you mentioned being connected, to everyone around, those really are spiritual practices and spiritual learnings. And I what I love about what we're doing with this program is that really when you say those words, meditation, service, study, they can seem so lofty, but when you really look at sort of some very everyday practices that are the result of just a notion of, is this for the greater good of all beings? That simple question mm-hmm. to ask yourself is a very spiritual question. It's so practical. And I just think sometimes people hear the words like service, that is service. Is it for the greater good of all beings? Or they hear meditation. Mm-hmm. Really, meditation trains us to focus. It trains us to understand the intricacies of the mind, but it also is simply noticing, being aware. And so, mm-hmm. I love that these conversations actually can always loop them back around to those principles. So I really appreciate that.
I think that there's one other thing we need to touch on. I know we just have a minute or two left, but we need to talk about over-optimism.
Oh, totally. Okay.
Right, because people can distort what's happening. Any hopefulness needs to be grounded in reality, and not just this kind of blind, everything's going to be wonderful. I don't have to do anything. In other words, just lie back. Everything's just going to be great. So I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, Steve, but I think we need to end with that.
Sure. And I would just say that quote again, let reality govern my every thought. And we certainly can create our own reality. But, you know, really, you don't want to take the 35 mile an hour turn at 85 miles an hour because you're optimistic as
right.
a way of being. So listeners out there, you know, to a degree, we want to be optimistic, but we certainly, you know, don't want to overdo it. That certainly being grounded and realistic. And it's asking yourself, is there truth? You know, is there truth? Is there truth in this statement? Is there truth in my response? Is always a really good pondering. So, Dorothy, we'll be back still for another couple weeks talking about hope. And so, listeners, I hope you've gotten a lot out of this. I know I sure have been putting it into practice every week. So, again, send us an email at spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com, and we'll be back next week.
Looking forward to it, Steve.
Wonderful. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.